The Holy Gospel of the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How about those challenges in the gospel today? I'm sure you figured it all out. You're trying to deal with this kind of dissonance between loving Jesus, meek and mild, and Jesus saying, "Let the dead bury their own dead. As for you, proclaim the kingdom of God." Foxes have holes, birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to place his head. First, let me go say goodbye. You are not fit for the kingdom of God. Tough. The men's Bible study wrestled with this on Wednesday. It's always very helpful to hear what they've come up with as they wrangle with it. It's good. Back in the old days, when the 28 prayer book was the Book of Common Prayer that we were using, morning prayer was a common thing here. And I'll never forget the final blessing that came from Numbers that was done during morning prayer. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his graciousness. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace." The Lord's face. You know, let's see if you can figure out what I'm thinking.
Ice cream.
Ice cream. No, that's this. The face will tell you an awful lot about what's going on in here. Okay? Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem. And we all know Jerusalem, I guess we all know the meaning of that term. It's often called the city of peace, Salom, peace. It's also, its most literal translation is foundation of peace. What is the foundation of the church according to the collect for today? Apostles, prophets, and who's the cornerstone? Jesus. Not Rachel, not Bob, not Greg. Jesus. the cornerstone. It is Jesus' face that is set to go to Jerusalem. Have you ever had somebody having an emergency and it was not an emergency for you? Coming out of public education, I can tell you I've experienced a lot of that. Jesus has set his face to go to Jerusalem to shine a light on the very basis of what Jerusalem was built upon. The foundation of Jerusalem, that city that was occupied, controlled by always Jewish? No. Boy, if you just read the history of the Herods and you see the fast action, the turnover of who's running it, and it wasn't even a Jewish city to begin with, it was a Gentile city. It's a universal city, just as it is today. You've got all these different warring parts, right? All within that city. What a perfect place to go and do peacemaking. At Jesus' day, the peacemaking was done with a sword and a spear. Through the might of Rome and through the machinations of political maneuvering by the Herods and by a cast of thousands, the working of the currents of mendacity, pretty tough. It's into this killing field that the foundation on which this church and every church is built entered. His face was set. He knows where he's going. He knows what he has to do. If you want to be one of his disciples and you're saying, hey, you know what? First, I got to go. Are you capable of handling what's going to happen in Jerusalem? The kind of peacemaking that comes from a foundation of love, or the logos of love. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the face that's headed to Jerusalem, and it will meet the logic of violence and wrath, the way the system is set up to maintain peace at many people's expense. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring you peace like the world gives you peace. I came to give you peace that is the peace of God that the world and its systems cannot possibly give you. And he set his face. So you can kind of understand when someone goes, hey, you know, I got something else to do. Makes sense. I believe that church is one of those great places for those of us who are like those people who want to be disciples, to hang out. And to week after week, ask God's forgiveness for just hanging out. But more than just hanging out, to confess our complicity in the logic of violence and wrath. You know, we just had a major attack on our soil in Orlando. And it was a killing field. There was no peace. Jesus comes into the world to bring a peace that we can't comprehend. He comes to bring peace to people who are used to being wrathful. You say, well, I'm not wrathful, I'm a nice person. But we live in a world where wrath and the logic of violence controls our thoughts and our ways. Do you hear me? How many of you ever listened to somebody on one of those talk shows, or even on Fox News or MSNBC or CNN, and you just want to go up and cast fire upon them, a la Elijah? Anybody not had that feeling? Or in your day-to-day operation with your family, haven't had the slightest inkling of maybe, bring it. Jesus comes to bring us peace that's not based upon winning and losing. The victory of the cross is victory for everyone. No winners, no losers, simply restored in God's image. That makes sense? Easy to do? Hey, I've been sitting in the pews for a long time, and very seldom have I seen Jesus set his face to Jerusalem and followed. I have backed away from things that I should have stood up for, not in a way of putting someone down or hurting someone, but stood with someone and been willing to take on myself what was going to be inflicted on the person I'm standing next to. The church gives you a place with a foundation that's a foundation in the logic of love, in the logos of God's love. It gives you a place for you to be a disciple wannabe until that perfect time and place when you say yes, when it becomes clear to you that Jesus, having set his face to Jerusalem, you will go with him. Even if to just witness what you see there and bear witness to what you see there. Let the dead bury the dead. You go proclaim. So the church gives us a great space, right? We get to come here every week and confess that we have wanted to cast fire upon the earth multiple times, that we have thrown people under the bus multiple times, and that we are sorry for what we have done because we have not lived into the logic of love that we see in the face of Jesus. Jesus in healing, Jesus in feeding, Jesus in casting out demons, Jesus in raising the dead, Jesus on his cross, whose last words, "Father, forgive them. Give them another chance to be a disciple of Christ. Give them another chance to be made in the image of God." And boy, it takes time. It takes time. Are you ready for that? So here's the message. The message is, do not be discouraged if you have wimped out, if you have backed away from the call to be a disciple, if you have seen Jesus set his face to Jerusalem and you weren't willing to stand with him. When it says that the foundation is the apostles and the prophets, think about this. How did the apostles do when Jesus headed to Jerusalem? Where were they? And the only thing that made them fit to serve was having been forgiven. Think about Elijah. You know, Elijah won a contest between the prophets of Baal, and he had some very unkind things to say about their god Baal, something about being in the bathroom. But he won the contest, and in the zeal of being right, he had 450 prophets of Baal slaughtered. You know what he did next? He ran away. He went to a cave. He was depressed. The anger that he had shown for other people, the human wrath that he had cast on the earth against those men, now was turned back in on himself. What have I done? I've been zealous for the Lord. Really? And he's told that the Lord is going to speak to him. And first, there's an earthquake. Was the Lord in the earthquake? How about the fire? How about the wind? You know, pretty much Cecil B. DeMille stuff, right? Finally, he is spoken to by a still, small voice. And when he hears the voice of God, that compassionate logos of love, he resigns his position. He finishes his business and hands the mantle over to Elisha. That is the foundation of the church. You just saw a man die to what he had been and been resurrected to what God had intended for him to be. The apostles, the prophets, you and me are called out of our failure, out of our cowardice, out of our mendacity to serve the Lord your God, so that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, can abide within this world and give us all another choice. Amen.